First of all, I want to talk to Greg Carrick now. Greg presents a number of shows on Yarra Valley, and he's been here a long while, probably longer than I have. He also looks after the office and all that, and he's been the president. He does a lot for the station. But I want to talk to Greg because a lot of you may realise, and some of you may not, that Greg was actually a professional photographer. And I really want to talk to Greg a little bit about the average photographer. But first of all, welcome, Greg.
Yeah, g'day, Alan. Good to see you cutting up bush, Dan. I mean, can you play something from this century?
Well, I did in the last hour, so you didn't listen. I had some 2000 and stuff. Anyway, we're not here to pick on the music. Greg, we know you were a professional photographer, and I know you and I had a talk probably a year ago, and you said to me, if you see anything that you think you should take a photo of, you should. And you will know that every now and again, particularly during the warmer nights, when I left here after rock and roll show by 8.15, 8.30, when you start getting down around Rochford Wines and all that, the cloud colours and, you know, the makeup of the clouds were just fantastic. And I took them. I've only got a phone. And I was happy with them. And you probably look at them and thought, oh, they're terrible. But anyway, I've been watching some of the stuff you've been putting up. And I know that obviously when you were working for the local paper, you were going out with some great big camera that was probably worth as much as my car. But you've been putting up some black and white ones of late. And I've seen you've revisited some of your old cameras, like not necessarily the new stuff. And you seem to be getting, well, to my eye, the same sort of photos, the same quality. Has photography come along so far, or are the basics still the same?
Yeah, look, Alan, the basics are still the same. There was a bit of a glitch when photography moved from film to digital,
yep,
because digital had to ramp up and be developed and, you know, sort of settle down as to how good it was. But it was only a few years and then digital cameras were fine. Lots of specs have improved and increased over the last 20 years with digital cameras. But basically, you're getting much the same photos.
Well, that's the point I wanted to get from you, because when you say, oh, look, I've got this camera and I've had it for a long while, I pull it out, they seem to be just as good as some of the photos that I would have thought that you would have taken with more professional camera.
Yeah, look, very briefly, there was this thing called the megapixel race in the last 10 years, and cameras manufacturers were busy increasing the amount of megapixels in their sensors. And, it was more a marketing ploy than any big leap forward in technology. Because if you look at a photo on a computer screen, you're looking at something that's basically 2 megapixels.
You've lost me there, but anyway.
Yeah, very, very, very small. I mean, your average camera today is, you know, in the mid-20s with megapixels. Oh. So there's an awful lot of megapixels in your camera that you don't really need.
Yep.
And when you print, anything between 10 and 16 megapixels is more than enough.
So, Greg, when mug amateurs like me, and I don't intend to put anybody else down, but a lot of people are taking photos with their cameras, they don't seem to be any worse than what some of the professional ones are.
Yeah, especially phones. Everybody has a phone, so basically everybody has a camera nowadays, and that's wonderful. And I would like to point out that the most important photos you can take are snapshots. Because
what do you mean by snapshots, Greg?
Okay, of your daily life, of your family, of your where you live.
Yep.
These things end up being like historical documents.
Yep.
So although I like taking nice calendar photos of sunsets and seascapes, yep, and stuff, in 100 years, who's going to look at them? They're not interesting because they don't show the story of our lives today, whereas snapshots do. So you're out with your family.
Yep.
You might be a tourist, you know, visiting some town. You're taking snaps. All the shops and cars in the street and the fashion people wear. You think it's average now, yep, but from 20 years on, people will love looking at those photos.
Well, and just to back that up, like last Sunday I was here and I had to go down the street to get some tea before the Rock and Roll Hit Parade, and the Hillsville Historic Society in Reese's window have got some photos. And they got, it was obviously around the 50s, you know, early 50s, because the cars in there are the 50s. Well, you know I like old cars. But to see the street as it was 50 years ago, in a lot of ways, it's completely different.
Yes, it is. And that's documentary photography. Yeah. I live in Mount Evelyn, and I've spent the last 20 years taking just average snapshots around the town and of community group activities and all sorts of things. And they're the photos that will hold their interest for decades to come.
Yeah. Greg, what's the most interesting job, or I guess when you were doing it as a job, or I'll ask you two questions. What was the most interesting photo you had to take that you were paid to take? And it probably was my family. And what's the most interesting one now that you don't have a client saying, I want a photo of this, I want a photo of that. Now that you're able to take whatever you want, what do you think have been your two most best photos you've taken?
Well, one was actually a portrait, and it was a local identity, and I took her photo. She's since passed away.
Yep.
And that photo is now a really good record of who she was. And that's the sort of photo that will, again, as I say, last forever.
Greg, when I just don't want to cut across you, but when you say you took that, did you take that for the paper, or did you take that just for yourself?
I did take that for the paper.
Yep.
When I'm out on a job with doing photojournalism, I might take 100 shots. Yep. The paper will use 3. But all the other ones are still worth keeping and looking at because they are history.
Yeah. Now, what about now that you don't have any boss saying to you, this is what I want? Because you've done some terrific ones, like some of them are at midnight, 1 o'clock. One day you're going to get done for being a stalker, hanging around these stations and that at 1 o'clock. But what would you say is the greatest, or the one that you're the most pleased with? Because you've got lightning, you've got all sorts of stuff.
Yeah, one of the most interesting ones I've taken was after a radio show here late at night. I left and I just hopped over the road to Hillsville Railway Station. Yep. And my idea was I'll get the Milky Way and some of the old rolling stock train carriages in the foreground.
Yep.
So I set up and I've got the tripod and I'm clicking away. And then all of a sudden I see this red glow in the sky and I'm thinking, what is that, a servo or something? Something's interfering with my shots.
Yep.
And it grew more intense. And it was an aurora happening.
Oh, right. So you hadn't
totally unexpected.
Yeah, you hadn't gone there for that at all.
No, so I got the aurora, the Milky Way and the old trains.
Greg, I know that you often leave here at midnight, 1 o'clock, and then head off and take some of these photos. When you're doing your research, I mean, you obviously don't just jump in the car and say, I'll drive Denver, because you're not going to do that for the fun of it. What are the sort of things, when you're picking out a site you're going to go to, what sort of, well, not so much what a research, but when you look up the area, what are you looking for? Because you're not going to just drive for nothing.
No, I do a bit of forward research on the day and the weather. So I look at the weather. I'll see, is the sky going to be clear? Am I going to get nice stars, you know, in the photo?
Yep.
Where's the tide? Because I don't want to go down there and find I'm standing in, you know, waist-deep water.
Yep.
So that can be very dangerous. So I always check the tide, I check the weather, and I check where the moon's going to be, because a really bright moon can sort of ruin the whole ambience of the shot and everything. So I want more darkness. So if there's no moon, that's great, or a bit of a sliver, that's fine. So, yeah, I'll check where the moon is, what the weather's going to be like, and whether I can get out there with the water.
Do you do that before you pick the area? Like, do you look up where the moon's going to be and that, and then after that you pick the area rather than say, oh, look, I'll look at Inverloch. Oh, no, that's no good.
Well, pretty much the moon's going to be the same spot anywhere in Victoria, but on any given night. But I want an interesting foreground. So I want nice rock formations or something, cliffs, whatever, to add a bit of interest to the photo. So I've got a few spots down along the coast that I regularly go to because I know there's good cliffs or rocks. I know there's might be nice wave action. And I know if there's an aurora happening while I'm facing south, I can get it and I can get, you know, several elements all in one photo.
All right. So let me ask you, I won't ask you if you're professional because that's a bit rough to ask you that. What's the worst photo you've ever taken?
Oh, okay. Yeah, I was covering a cricket match one day. And,
but this was professionally or for yourself?
Yeah, for the newspaper.
Oh, I was going to ask you about professional.
Yeah. And cricket is really interesting. Long, long times of boredom and then all the action happens in 2 seconds.
Yep.
You know, someone going out, the bales flying, that sort of thing. And so I'm waiting there, waiting for something to happen. And I'm lined up watching the batter and he goes for the ball and I take the photo and it's a good action shot and I think that'd be good.
Yep.
And then later on I'm looking at it on the computer and I look in the background. And there's this dog. There's this dog taking a dump. Right in the middle of the shot in the background.
So can you delete that out these days? Can you edit it out or does it
You can, work? But with photojournalism, you're not allowed to do that stuff.
Oh, aren't you?
No. No, you're supposed to show what is actually happening. So you can't take out elements and all that sort of thing. You have to present the photo as it was.
Right. So how long were you a professional photographer?
Doing photojournalism, probably 20 years. Because apart from doing the photos for a local paper here, I was on contract, I also ran my own newspaper in Mount Evelyn.
Yeah, I've heard about that. Yeah.
So in that job, I was taking the photos, I was sourcing the articles, doing all the layout and design, getting the ads, sort of everything.
Greg, when you were just saying, I've lost my train of thought now at the moment. When you were working for the paper, did you often get calls out the middle of the night? Did they ring up and say, there's a big fire here, get yourself down there?
No, usually I had set things to do. So I might have had 3 or 4 events to cover over a weekend. However, I was often grabbing my camera and running out when I heard sirens.
Did you? And in the hope that the paper might want to use it.
Well, yeah, I mean, visually, you know, car accidents are striking. They attract attention in the paper. So if I knew of a car accident or something, I might go out and photograph it. But fires, they're another thing. Yeah, house fires and business fires and bushfires all were good things to photograph. Not good things to live through, but good things to photograph.
So were you taking any photos during Ash Wednesday and those sorts of fires?
No. Some of the fires I covered were like this Montrose fire that just happened last week. That's the sort of thing I would cover. And I remember years ago there was a fire in about the same spot near Mount Dandenong.
Right.
And I went down there and got a marvellous shot of the fire raging away and I got in trouble for it because it was supposed to be a cool burn. It was supposed to be planned cool burn.
Yeah.
And the thing got out of control and was, you know, going up the trees and it was terrible.
And they weren't happy with you?
No. I put that photo in the paper and they contacted me. They weren't happy.
Greg, when you turn up, I mean, obviously, if you're going to a festival, then that's different. Then they know you're coming and what you're doing. But if you were to turn up at an accident or something like that, did the police try and push you off and say, go and get out of here?
No, because when I turn up one of those things, I'm no longer a free person. I'm under the direction of the incident controller.
Oh, are you?
So I work up and the first thing I do is I find the incident controller and go introduce myself, tell him what I want to do.
Yep.
And then he says, give us an hour or something. So I might hang around for an hour.
Right.
Waiting so that when the time is right and I'm not going to be in their way, I can take photos. Now, that's a professional courtesy.
Right.
And not all media outlets do that.
don't they?
You see an accident or a fire, and the news helicopters will be flying around everywhere overhead taking photos, and there's people on the ground. They treat the job as, I'm going to get the photos, I don't care what anybody says, and then I'm off.
I want to be the first one to get it.
Yeah. So
the other day, they actually showed a bloke being shot in the news, didn't they, where they killed somebody the other side of the city. They actually showed a video of him dying. Well, I wouldn't have thought you'd have been allowed to do that.
You can. If you're in a public place, you can take photos.
Any photos?
Yeah, but because I deal with the emergency service so often in that job, I had to build that relationship with them so that they would trust me. Yep. If I turned up, they thought, oh, Greg's here, he's fine, he's not a problem.
Yep.
The last thing you want to be is a problem to emergency services.
Well,
you know?
I mean, they're busy doing what they have to do, aren't
they? Yeah, their job is more important than mine.
Yeah. Mm. Well, to the paper, yours is probably the most important.
Yeah, you still get photos. The case in point there is there was a fatal accident in Mount Evelyn. Some young people from the town involved in this, and I went there soon after the accident when I heard about it and approached the incident controller. Because it was a fatal, they spent a lot of time.
Yes, hours.
Yeah. Yep. And I didn't get back clear to take photos till 2 a.m. in the morning.
And what time did you get there?
Mid-afternoon.
Fair.
Because I don't want to get in the way. I don't want to, you know, blot my copy book. I can still get photos, but you got to be courteous to these guys. You know?
And I guess if you break that arrangement, then next time they're not going to trust you, are they?
That's right.
Greg, we've got to go because I've got some ads I've got to play and I've got to do another interview. Is there any photo, I guess it's a more professional, it could be in your private life, where you missed it and you thought, I wish I'd have got to do that?
Yes, there's one.
Is there?
That bugs me.
Sorry?
It's bugged me for years and I have to keep telling myself, put it aside, it's all right. I was at a football match.
Yep.
It was grand final day, so there's a lot of matches being played.
Yep.
I was there for hours, taking hundreds of shots of the football. Yep. And by the end, I was over it, you know.
Yep.
It was near the end of the game and I thought, oh, I've got so many photos. Put my camera gear away and I'm walking around the oval and I could see the action coming towards me.
Yep.
And something was telling me, pull your camera out. And I was so tired and so over football that I didn't. And I'm standing there and all of a sudden the ball comes towards me. It was almost on the boundary. These two players leap up to go to the ball and they collided right in front of me.
Oh, it was a stunning shot. Great photo,
One of them ended up, he had to be airlifted to hospital. It was a big collision. You know? And it was an amazing shot that I didn't take.
Greg, look, I've got to go, but thank you for your time. If a person wants to start personal photography, you would suggest that they get a bit better than a phone, would you? Or do you think they're just as good to be with a phone?
Start with your phone. Phones nowadays take amazing shots. They are limited because they don't do zoom and long range and all that sort of stuff. But start with your phone, find out what you really enjoy doing, and then maybe move to a camera.
And your advice to me was if you see something, you should take a photo.
Yep.
Take it.